Welcome to Cartoonist Kayfabe. My name is Jim Rugg.
I'm Ed Piskor.
This is a pretty fun one today, Ed. Alex Toth, Jordy Bernay, Torpedo. But before we dive in, give us a plug.
Patreon.com/EdPiskor is where I'm serializing my current comics project, Red Room. It's going to see print later in 2021, but the early adopter could check out the comics first at the Patreon. $3 will get you the archive. New strips pop up every Tuesday.
I like seeing a big image like this. Looks so good on screen.
Might be a cover. Who knows?
Makes sense to me. One of my latest projects, Octobriana 1976. I feel like it's appropriate since we're looking at Torpedo 1936. Okay. This is a blacklight comic printed with fluorescent ink and available wherever comics are sold, starring the Russian underground superhero Octobriana. And there are a few editions. There's a black and white edition. There's a retro colored edition. Looks like it might have come out in 1976. And in addition to the comics, you can pick up a PDF of the process guide, 350 pages of every single draft. It's available on my website, jimrugg.com. All right. The reason we're here today, Sanchez Abueli's Torpedo 1936 with amazing art by Alex Toth on the first couple chapters and Jordy Bernay on the bulk of this. That's who I think of when I think of Torpedo. I think most people probably think of that artist and Torpedo together. This is a Catalan edition. Catalan was a publisher in the late 80s and 90s that did a lot of import comics here in the U.S., but Torpedo has also been reprinted in beautiful editions by IDW in the last 10 years.
Yeah, it's
so had, not impossible to find.
It's had many editions. Like, I remember at the flea market there would be single issues of Torpedo. I'm not sure who put those out, and I think I have a couple of those, you know, little 32-page standard size comics.
I always think about tracking that kind of stuff down. I always like to see how this stuff forms. But one note on Torpedo 1936. So Toth starts this and then backs out. He does two chapters of it, and we'll see those in the beginning of the book. But it reminds me, you know, 1935 for Bravo for Adventure, the time setting. So I think this is a time period that Toth likes quite a bit. And
do we know how he connected with these guys?
I don't know. My impression is that Sanchez Abueli, and apologies if that's a mispronunciation, was sort of the creator behind this and hooked up with Alex Toth, and they developed it a little bit together. But Torpedo is like a nickname for a hitman. And that's our main character is a hitman. This is a there's no hero in Torpedo, and I think that maybe that's what drove Alex Toth away. It's a dark character. It's a dark strip. There's violence against everybody, men and women. And Torpedo is our quote-unquote hero, but again, nothing heroic about him. He's just cast in the is the title character, but you see, you know, there's his mug shots to get it started. And, you know, he's a gangster. Most of these strips, maybe all of them, he's killing somebody for money.
So it's Alex Toth art. 1981 is when the comic starts.
Yeah. So that first part, you know, intro, a little bit of background on this series, which is cool. And then I think there are about 8 pages, most of these chapters. So it is awesome to find like 16 pages of Toth art.
Great composition.
Oh, they all are, you know. He's a master. And by 81, I mean, top of his game, peak Alex Toth. Although I think he was at his peak for several decades. But this is strong work, definitely.
Love all those textures.
A very, as we continue going, you're going to see a pretty clean version of Torpedo.
Yeah.
I think as it progresses, Torpedo takes on more of a unlikable characteristics.
Very Humphrey Bogart in the Toth iteration.
And this first story is basically he was paid to kill this woman, and he fakes killing her, and she ends up ruining, kind of messing up his life, and so he pays somebody to get rid of her. This is his sidekick, Rascal, who runs through most of these stories with him. Rascal pulls basically the same scam on Torpedo. They fall for this damsel, and the women in here are, they suffer, everybody suffers, but they're also very sexy throughout this story. So we see a lot of Torpedo chasing girls and falling for girls and conflicts with his job interests. Sometimes they're very, very, a lot of manipulation from everybody.
Yeah, that's in line with noir.
Yeah, for sure. So this is also Alex Toth. This is the second story in this collection, and again, pretty early on, you know, like I think what Torpedo becomes kind of evolves as this goes on. So relatively straightforward. It's still he's being hired to do a job. Man, the Toth character designs are all in full effect. Every character looking distinct from one another.
All this stuff, man. I love the tails on the dialogue balloons. I love the sound effect lettering.
Yeah, it's very beautiful stuff, and it's that tight 6-panel grid.
Yeah.
So you get to see really what he does. Like, imagine this on Instagram, you know, these days, like just posting panel by panel. Just a master of that square format. So Alex Toth bows out after just, you know, mere 16 pages in. Glad we have it. Looks great. But this is really, like I say, what I think of is Bernay comes on board and makes this character his.
Bernay starts to clean up his style over time, kind of solidifies and becomes Bernay. But like this early stuff, it's like the love child of Joe Kubert and Alex Toth. You know, it's that organic kind of hatch line. But it's also that chiaroscuro, like harsh, like stark black and white of like a Toth.
And this is a fun character. He teams up with this high-end prostitute to do this job, and then his plan is to take her out at the end. Because again, Torpedo is a scumbag.
Yes,
this guy's no good. Don't trust him. Don't turn your back on him. Don't fall for his any of his smooth talking. So whenever they get out there and he's ready to double cross her, she says, "Hey, Reno," and from the back seat, Reno pops up. Gives him something to remember them by. Ooh. And ends up ripping Torpedo off. And she appears in a couple more stories. I don't think in this volume, maybe one more, but she appears one of the few recurring characters, because most of these characters, if you see them, they're one and done. They're not walking out of these strips.
You know what they call that scar, like Omar? It's called the Buck 50, man, because it takes 150 stitches or staples to stitch it back together.
That's a horrible name for it. Wow.
He got the Buck 50 right
so
there.
So brutal. All right, continuing on. These stories also remind me a little bit of like a structure of EC Comics. You know, they're all contained stories. I don't know if future volumes have multi-part stories, but these are all self-contained. I think they were serialized upon publication in like a magazine, like an anthology magazine. So you get a complete story in each issue, but often there's a twist or a spin at some point in the story, which is, you know, why it reminds me a little bit of EC Comics. O. Henry endings. Although, maybe not totally O. Henry, but usually something happens, some surprise here or there along the way.
Got to keep things interesting, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, the women always look great. Beautiful women, one of the staples of this series.
He's really good at setting, too. Like, look at that little wharf or fish market or whatever.
Yeah, so set in New York, and it's, you know, that 30s New York. I don't know if there's a bunch of morgue reference available for 30s New York. I guess early gangster movies would have been popping up from that time period. So it is a very almost romanticized city of setting, to pull out a cliche. And one of the bits of humor, this is known for having dark humor, this series, comes from Rascal, his sidekick, who he's constantly like punching, slapping around, or somebody else is. He often sends Rascal out to negotiate with people that he's planning to kill, and that often doesn't go well for Rascal. So
that's funny.
I think that's probably one of the main bits of humor, and you can see he's sporting a black eye now after after his little bit of humor there. And this story, what happens is two rival fish sellers are going at it. One of them is kind of mobbed up. It's like this gang of three tough guys. And the other one is a guy and his beautiful wife. So
that's humorous.
You're right. I guess maybe there's more humor in this story than I give it credit for. So Bernay, you know, agrees to kind of take on this fishmonger's enemies and carve out some protection for him. But whenever it comes time to pay for it, the guy can't really afford it, and so he's going to take it out on the wife, is going to be the one who pays for it.
How do you enlist a hitman if you can't pay for it? The one bill you want to pay is the guy you're paying to rough up or kill somebody.
Yeah, that's a bad one to run out on for sure. Dumbo, I guess another example of humor. This is another hitman. This guy with big ears. That's the nickname Dumbo. And you can kind of see him here. Looks like he got the caricature lesson from cartooning. Got that right.
Yeah, it's the yellow bastard.
It's funny, you know, for being Dumbo, we don't see a lot of a good shot of his ears. Just that one kind of long that long shot.
Don't need to overstate it.
Yeah, I guess they pop up here and there a little bit.
Got the MMA cauliflowers. Beautiful drawing.
This is such a ridiculous story, too, because the gimmick is he comes across a hand somewhere. One of these guys that he's dealing with has a hand. I think this guy makes, I don't know, some kind of prop something. And whenever Torpedo sees the hand, he's like, oh, perfect. And he casts it like it's a broken arm so that he has a free hand underneath there and can kind of distract everybody. Because this guy that's after him is also a good killer. So how do you get the drop on him?
Yeah.
Dumbo has skills, man. His reputation precedes him.
Yeah, supersonic hearing.
A little bit of origin. This is your young Torpedo, fresh off the boat in America and trying to make ends meet and taken advantage of by the corrupt local policeman who he's shining shoes for and becomes his first victim.
Ooh, it's that age-old Italy versus Irish New York shit, man.
Old-school mob stuff, yeah. Yeah, and you see, like, you know, kid being violent.
He's good at drawing that back-neck hot dog that fat people have.
Yeah, the fat guy being, like, you know, the gross abuser of everything. He's also good at hats. You're going to see a lot of hats. You know, the newsboy hat, these different hats. Hats are hard to draw.
Yeah, everybody. He certainly has to have those things on reference, like in his studio space.
Such a great hat that Torpedo wears, too. It's alive. It's a lot of motion in that hat. This is kind of a weirder story. This is a mobster that's visiting this jazz club and has a lot of guns around him. This is the one, by the way, where Rascal gets the shit kicked out of him. He gets to set up this meeting and the whole gang kind of just falls in on him. But Torpedo's plan is they're going to do a little song and dance act at this club as clowns.
You know what this, there's a conversation with Richard Kuklinski, the Iceman killer, and he talked about he had to kill a guy once. And it went to like a Studio 54 discotheque, so he's dressed up like a studio guy. And he's like, and then I bumped into him with a needle. They ask, well, what was in the needle? And he's like, for that guy, a heart attack.
Wow. Well, for these guys, it was Tommy guns. This is another one where he takes the wife as a payment. So seeing a repeating motif coming out of here. This guy hires Torpedo because his late wife was very religious, and he's worried that maybe she confessed something she shouldn't have to the priest. So one, Torpedo has to go into the church to do his job.
Nice.
It really is kind of a strange, you know, early 80s, kind of a strange comic strip that it's just, we're just following a hitman around and watching him kill a priest.
Listen, man.
Take people's wives for payment.
I always wanted to see the Roadrunner episode where Wile E. Coyote gets the drop. So, like, give me some cool villain comics.
It's pretty good, too. They get into a little bit of back and forth, as you can see here. And the priest fights for himself, man. Puts out a candle in one of his eyes.
Remember that movie, Dead Alive? I kick ass for the Lord!
Good stuff, man, nonetheless. And you get to see the ramifications of having that eye burnt. And as he's leaving, makes some jokes about the mass for the dead with the old lady that's wandering into the church and looking for the father. So we can keep going through here, Ed. I think there's one of these stories that you're very fond of. By the way, another bit of an eye crack, making a future joke about a punch to Rascal's face.
Yeah, with a small eye, too, as it's done.
This is another one where he gets into it with a cop. So this is a cop that's been looking for him, and at one point brings him in for questioning, doesn't have any crime on him or anything, just brings him in to kind of like rough him up and be tough with him and let him know that he's looking for him, he's watching him, extinguishes a cigarette on his face.
Yeah, and look at his eyes, man. He's got the real Marty Feldman gimmicks going on. Yeah, this is like the issue that I most distinctly remember. It's good murder in here.
I really love Bernays' faces and body types. He's not a guy that has one type. You know, it's a lot of different characters that wander through these pages.
And good head wound right there.
Yeah, gun backfires. This is a gun that Torpedo. This is the cop trying to shoot Torpedo. Spits in the cop's eye to try to get him so mad that he'll shoot the gun. But Torpedo had tampered with the gun, and that's the end result. And realizes that this blind guy on the street corner witnessed the whole thing, so goes over and adds to the blind guy's sign, deaf mute. Doesn't want him telling any tales to anyone. Got pinched, did 9 months in the joint. Here's something about these stories. There's no time. Every once in a while, you'll see like a flashback to childhood or something, but there's no sense of like how much time passes. This really would be like some kind of sensational account by a hitman, where you're just getting like stories of his exploits.
Those Parker books work that way too. There's no continuity.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the right word for it. So in this case, he wants payback from the guy who fed him a bunch of counterfeit bills, is why he was doing 9 months in prison for having this counterfeit money. So he sneaks into his lair, and I see bits of Mike Mignola in a couple of these drawings, like some of the face shadows in this, which I found kind of interesting. Obviously, it's not, you know, it's years before Mignola develops his style, and it's not everywhere, but there's a couple of panels that remind me of that. He's just so good with black and white.
He is.
So, Ed, you said this was one of those stories that you liked. So he tracks down the guy that put him behind bars.
Yeah, good staging here. That's one of the things that I really dug. But good murder with the bag on the head. And, you know, nice 2 pages to prolong the hypoxia, I guess, is the cause of death for this man.
You get a lot of panels and a lot of panels with the guy suffocating front and center.
Yeah, you know, these guys, they work, they have certain page conditions and deadlines and stuff. So our job is to, like, evolve, you know? So, like, we got to do a plastic bag murder sequence and just have that head writhe for several pages.
It does make me wonder about reading subsequent volumes because, like I said, 7 volumes of Catalan edition, 5 volumes IDW, it's a lot of, like, how can we kill somebody on this story?
8 million ways to murder. Choose one.
This is another one where he gets double-crossed. He's hired to kill this guy. Father-in-law doesn't like who his daughter is getting ready to marry. The daughter's wise to it, and they set this up with a crooked cop and end up double-crossing Torpedo, so he ends up making no money out of it. He's supposed to get like a 10 grand payoff, ends up not making any money out of it, even pays off the cop that witnesses the whole event, pays him off with his advance to try to keep the cop's mouth shut, and then goes back to collect his money from the father, who says the daughter and the cop have come by already and shook him down for the money that was going to go to Torpedo. And our very last, like the EC spin, is the daughter, the her fiance, and the cop all rolling in bed together. So... Torpedo doesn't always get his man, doesn't always get his payout at the end, but it's a really, it's a real fun comic, man. You know, like if you're, again, Sin City, Stray Bullets, if you're into the noir crime, strong black and white art, this has a lot to offer. Parker, you mentioned, I think that this lines up with, if you're a fan of Parker, this would be something to check out.
As, you know, as a working, functioning cartoonist, like a lot of time is spent at the drawing board, right? But I'm a comics reader and a comics fan as well, so it's fun to crack open a Torpedo, read an 8-pager,
right,
get back to business.
Yeah, no doubt, and it's really stellar artwork.
Unassailable, and Bernay just once again solidifies into his own style, like as the volumes go by.
Yeah, and every edition I've seen of this, it looks good. Mm-hmm. So if, wherever you come across this, it's probably a worthwhile one to pick up.
Absolutely, get out. KFabers, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the bell. We'll notify you when new vids are available. What do you got in shops, man?
Street Angel, Deadliest Girl Alive, The Plain Janes, and Octobrion in 1976 are my latest output, available wherever comics are sold.
Patreon.com/EdPiscor is where I'm serializing Red Room for $3. Get the whole archive there. The X-Men Grand Design Omnibus sold out, but it is in stores. And the Ed Piscor Studio Edition, going quick.
You can subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe e-newsletter at the links below this video to keep up with everything we're doing. You can find Cartoonist Kayfabe t-shirts and merchandise at the links below this video.
Jamie, give him one more set of marching orders and we'll be on our way.
Read more comics.